The opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Celebrating over 10 years on the air. Good morning, the 28th of May, 7:05 in the morning. The news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Of course, I'm here with Trish Clark. It's Thursday. Good morning, Trishy.
Good morning, Carl.
And Sue's at the helm. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning, Carl.
And so what's the weather look like?
Well, it's 73 degrees right now, and it's going to be hot. Surprise. A high of 101 today, low of 68. And on Friday, another high of 101, a low of 59. And then on Saturday, showers and a high of 71. And Saturday night, a low of 56. On Sunday, partly sunny, a high of 80. Slight chance of showers on Sunday night and a low of 59. And on Monday, a slight chance of showers and a high of 80 and a low of 55. So that's going to be a big shock in your system. 101 to 71. Whoa. 30 degrees change. But hot. So stay hydrated. Stay cool. Keep animals and babies out of cars. Shasta Gas Propane brings us the weather. Our customers are Forum Friends, locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
And Sue, I think, do you have the latest corona update?
Yes, for Shasta County, we have one new positive case, a man in his 70s, the latest in Shasta County, bringing the total of cases to 37. Shasta County health officials are also expecting school guidelines from the state anytime. Apparently, schools are not set to open soon, but they do plan to open, of course, in the future once again, and the child care guidance is going to be updated along with day camp and, once again, schools. So that's very, very important as that we continue to deal with the coronavirus in Shasta County. And now, Carl, back to you.
Okay. Have you been following what happened in Minnesota with the death of that man?
The black man with the police officer?
Yeah.
A little bit, yes.
Well, you know, this thing, I watched the video of it.
And I tell you,
I'm appalled. But here's the thing is I have, you know, I have family in law enforcement, and he's had people fighting him. This is the only way you can, you know, once you handcuff them, they're still fighting, you have to hold them down. So you putting your knee on them is a way to hold them down so there's less damage, believe it or not, not just to the officer, but to the person.
Mm-hmm.
If you can always reposition your knee on it. And in this case, he says, I can't breathe. Well, everybody says that.
Exactly, yeah.
However, there's four officers there, and one of the officers, you know, they give directions to each other. Should have been something to the effect of take your knee off or move your knee or something, because he was standing there watching it.
And nobody said anything.
And nobody said anything. Now, I don't know what happened. You don't know what happened before, you know, all of it, except he was down on the ground. But the fact that you were all fired immediately. Now, the riot started there in Minneapolis, and they're still rioting, and then started down in L.A., of course, yesterday, too, where they broke out all the windows in a couple of CHP officers' cars. Somebody jumped in the hood of a police car that tried to get away, and then the guy fell off, so he was injured. This whole thing is, though, it's exploding. And I don't think in some cases that it's, oh, we just needed an excuse to riot. I think that people, when you see something like this, it makes you wonder about why would you do that? I mean, I've been in life and death situations, and you have to make split decisions, but it went on for like 5 minutes. And it just, I mean, it went on for 5 minutes. Now, did it have anything to do with the fact that the man was African American? You know, I can't say that because I don't know what's inside the guy's mind. Did he do it strictly because he was black, or was he just doing it because he was irritated by the guy and he was just tired of his BS? And it wouldn't have made any difference if he was Asian or white or anything. But we won't know that.
And you never will.
And you won't know that. That's right. Unless there's things in his past that have come out, and it will come out. There will be a trial over this.
Yeah. You know, I never, ever want to get in the middle of those because, as you indicate, that the camera only captures part of what's going on. You don't know what happened right before that. You don't know. You just don't know the state of mind, and everybody's tightly strung with all of this stuff that's going on, the reactions that people have. I'm not saying that he couldn't have been totally 100% in the wrong, but I'm also not saying that I can't judge.
Well,
I just can't judge.
What I support law enforcement. But there has to be a thorough investigation.
Absolutely.
Over this one. And if they were wrong, they've got to be held accountable. And here's the other thing. It's got to lead to a change in techniques, you know, and procedures, how they do that. Unless they already had it in place that if somebody's having problems breathing, you know, you get off, you know, that you change your
but
positions.
But how do you know how they're having trouble breathing?
Well,
because they always say that.
Well,
they always say, I can't hear. It's too tight. It's too tight. I can't breathe. You're killing me.
Look, well, but you know what? If that's the case, 5 minutes. We're not talking like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
We're talking like 5 minutes of it being like that. The guy saying he can't breathe, and then he dies.
Well, then if in fact they prove this guy wrong, they shouldn't then turn around and toughen up the rules on everybody else. This guy just did it wrong.
They need to enforce the rules, but then that's what the other policemen are there. Well, you're in the middle of it, and you've got to, you know, in this case, you've got him on the ground. You're trying to keep him there.
Yeah.
At some point, another policeman who was standing over him
should have said, move your knee. Okay.
Because they do it all the time.
But my point is, Carl, whenever something like this happens, then they turn around and they come up with a whole bunch of new rules that make it more difficult for the future police officers to do their job. When these people are on drugs or riled up or avoiding arrest, they're tough to handle. And they've taken away so many tools that police officers had for so many years.
I'm not arguing that.
Well, I'm just saying. So I'm hoping
However, if common sense, well, the rules, it's like the chokehold. Chokehold was taken away, but another hold was put in there with a different way of doing it that essentially does the same thing, but it doesn't break larynxes and things like that. But they're, you know, I mean, it's there. But so having something like this, just because it's in the rules that says, they're not going to change the rules, says you can't hold a suspect that's fighting. But there's got to be, they've got to go back and look at their procedures and enforce the idea that if there is this and if there is a chance, like the guy, it'd been, in this case, the guy had been laying there. And you could see it. If you know, you don't know what happened before. He could have been fighting him. You know, who knows? But they had him on the ground at that time.
And for 5 minutes, he was
laying
there.
Guy's knee was on his neck.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I'm saying.
Here's the other thing.
Not every policeman follows procedures. Now, is there excessive force? Yes, many times there is excessive force because the law enforcement officer is fighting for his life at that point, you know. And so, I mean, you bring all the force you can to bear to keep yourself from being injured or injured more.
And to gain control
and gain control of the
situation.
Whether you like it or not, it's to preserve law and order. This, you know, and for whatever reason, he was pulled over. And all this that happened. But, you know, I think some of what you're saying is exactly right. People are so fired up over this CV-19, and then something like this happens.
Everybody's wound tight.
Yeah.
Everybody's wound tight. You can't take people out of their ordinary way of life for 2 months, change everything, spout fear 24/7 on the radio every time you open it up and not have people in a different state of mind.
You know, Jimmy says if it was a white guy that was killed, it would be one paragraph. Well, see, I'm not sure about that, because there was the woman that was shot by a policeman for no reason except she startled him and he shot her through the window of his car. And she was just trying to tell him that, you know, she's the one that called the police and she wanted to come up and talk to him and he shot her. That was nationwide news for a long time. So it's not in every case like this. I would hope that that anybody that this happened to, it would become news.
I would hope that was true too, but quite frankly, I have to agree with Jimmy here. Well, they always make more out of it. If it's a Republican or a black person, it's going to make better news.
Well, all right, let's take a quick break here. 7:15 in the morning, 71 degrees out there, going up to over 100 today. This portion of the show brought to you by, very appropriately, Alliance Heating and Air. Serving the North State for over 25 years with outstanding service, a veteran-owned business. I can't think of anybody else I would call to come work on anything in my HVAC systems in Alliance Heating and Air. You can call them at 221-2642 or learn more at their website, homecomfort.org, Alliance Heated and Air. Trish Clark, Carl Bott, we'll be right back.
Get your morning update with us, Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Shasta College has been a vital part of this community for over 70 years. Look around. You probably know many of our successful graduates serving our community in high-demand, high-growth fields like nursing, law enforcement, accounting, communications, and agriculture. Summer enrollment is happening now. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply to enroll for the summer semester. Classes start June 8th. Looking for a transfer? Save money and time by spending your first 2 years at Shasta College before you transfer to a university. High school students, summer is the perfect time to earn college credit with no tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
No tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
Redding Rancheria is proud of our efforts to help lead our community to reopen the local economy in a safe and effective way. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Redding Rancheria and a member of the Shasta County Roadway to Recovery Committee. I would like to thank Shasta County for practicing safe social distancing. As coronavirus cases continue to shrink, Shasta County is looking at ways to reopen our economy in a meaningful and safe way. Make no mistakes, we are not through this yet. We have, however, been blessed with an opportunity to discuss ways to reopen businesses. We are proud to play our part.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Redding, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor. Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Big Five Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live throughout the world. 7:20 in the morning here on the 28th, 72 degrees, going up to 100 today.
101.
I'll just say
it breaks
over.
That 100 mark.
Say
oh.
Over 100. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms. If you're looking for a gun, as a new record amount of people seem to have been in March and April in our country, why not go down to visit John Bastiani at Bastiani Arms? I mean, they've got all the guns, different selections, everything that you could possibly want, all the accessories, ammo, training, and customer service is just outstanding. Locally owned, locally operated. Let's give them the business instead of the big box stores. It's Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur. And veterans, you get a discount when you shop at Bastiani Arms. I'm here with Trish Clark, and I've been watching Grant. It's a mini series on the History Channel. It finished up last night. It tells a story of this man who many people have forgotten. And when you go back through this, you realize what this man did. And coming from hardscrabble family, working his way on the farms. He loved horses. He could ride. He was a great rider. Went to West Point at age 17, didn't want to go. His dad said, you go. And he said, okay. Was in the Mexican War, came out, had problems with alcohol. When he was out at Fort Humboldt here out on the coast, which since they probably didn't have mushrooms then that you could get into, he got into alcohol. Was given his choice of retiring or being court-martialed, so he retired, went back home. It was tough to find a job. He was literally selling cords of wood to keep his family fed, because he says, I'll do anything to keep my family together and keep them fed. So, you know, no job was beneath him.
Uh-huh.
He was a man of great tenacity. And then the war started. He started out as commander of the of a small battalion of troops out of his town. They asked him to be the commander. He didn't look for it. They asked him to be. Then when the governor put together a regiment, he put Grant in charge of it. You know, Grant had Mexican War experience. He was a West Point guy. And that's where the story starts. And the man was, he was a brilliant strategic thinker. And it was his plan that eventually brought the South to capitulation. And he was a hard man. He was hard. He wasn't unfeeling, but once you're in the fight, his whole doctrine was you engage them, you attack them, and at the end of the fight, when everybody's licking their wounds, the next morning you attack again. And it worked. And he sent Sherman through. He had several great victories out in the West. Meanwhile, in the East, Robert E. Lee and the Army of Northern Virginia was just kicking every general's butt until that one time up in Gettysburg when Meade stopped Lee at the high water mark of the Confederacy there, because Lee wanted to go up, hit the Union in their own states. And hoping that would bring, you know, people saying, okay, let's just
bring an end to it.
Yeah,
a lot of people forget about that about the Civil War, that most of the fighting and damage and everything was in the South.
It was in the South.
And so the Union people, they really weren't as engaged in the war, if you will. I mean,
they were
feeling
providing
as
people.
Impacted by it. They were providing people, but their lands weren't being
taken. Right, and the casualties were heavy. If you just looked at it on paper, there's no way the South was going to last over a year. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they did, and the other thing it brought out was the truth of the war was about slavery. And it was because slavery ran the economy in the South, cotton, tobacco, all these things. It ran the economy of the South. So they did, they put in embargoes. They came down and they took Vicksburg. They took other, you know, so they could cut off the Mississippi. And then they went in, and he said, Lincoln brought Grant in and says, I want you to take over the command of the armies. Made him a lieutenant general, you know. Mm-hmm. So he took over that, and he had Sherman march through Georgia. And after two terrible days of fighting for Grant, fighting against Robert E. Lee, they had horrendous casualties in the Battle of the Wilderness and then another one at Cole Harbor and at Petersburg. They just had a lot of casualties. And Lincoln said, you've got to do something or we're going to lose. I'm going to lose this election because Meade was running against him, or McClellan, whoever it was, and he was running on a peace. He was running on a peace platform that we will declare peace with the southern states. And part of that is the South wanted, oh, fine, we keep our slaves. And we can go after the ones that escaped. Well, you know, that wasn't going to work. But anyway, then Sherman took Atlanta. Lincoln won. And then Grant forced Lee into two more fights, and Lee surrendered. So but then after that, Reconstruction started. And talking about the problems, and then Grant was elected president. He never ran for president. They asked him, "Do you want to run for president?" He goes, "If I'm nominated." Well, he was elected and reelected, and did so much for Reconstruction and freeing. I mean, really freeing people, mm-hmm. freeing the slaves, bringing them back, schools, just living normal lives.
You know,
unbelievable. It was an unbelievable. If you have not seen this, you could probably go to History on Demand and watch it. It's well worth skipping through the commercials to be able to see this thing.
Yeah, one of the trips that I took in my motorhome right after it's probably been 5 or 6 years ago, was a trip down through the South, and we specifically sought out Civil War sites and battles, and learned pretty quickly that you needed to do a lot of research to actually get to places that would give you actual information. Because sometimes you'd think you were going to some place and you'd end up in a completely rebuilt shopping center with a little plaque in the middle of it that said the battle of such and such was fought here. But if you really did your homework, you could actually go to some of those places. Like there's quite a place in Petersburg where you actually can see areas where the battles went on, and other places that in different places. But what you were saying about that is so interesting to listen to. Okay, what you read in our books and what we've been taught, and then when you talk to the South, the people that live in the South, about how these battles ensued, and when you go through a tour of one of these places, and the way they refer to the battles and the way their language, they don't talk about the Civil War. They don't say that. It was the Northern aggression.
Yeah, well,
they really are still, in a lot of instances, Carl, still fighting that war. Well, it's not over.
And that's a problem right there because, you know, because I lived down south. I was raised down south. I went to segregated schools. I saw the signs that said white only, colored only. I lived in Atlanta, Georgia, and where there would be, like you said, like this church right here, and it had a, you know, brass placard out here. In this church, Sherman... in this church, Sherman stabled his horses in the church. And, you know, the whole thing of Grant's strategy is the only way you're going to win this war is break their will to fight.
Yeah.
And then he sent Sheridan through the Shenandoah, and he says, destroy the Shenandoah. If a crow flies across the Shenandoah, he's going to have to pack a lunch because there's nothing here. It was total war. That was the only way he believed that they could, you know, stop this war. And it worked. I mean, but at the end of it, the Reconstruction was just unbelievable. The amount of money they had to pump back into the South because everything was gone. Everything was gone. Anything of industry was gone. These huge cities burnt. Atlanta, Richmond, all of these big cities were destroyed.
As we went through so many of the tours of their different plantations and the places where a lot of those battles went took place, and they had total reenactment kind of stuff going on, and the this misery that went on in how long was the Civil War?
4 years.
4 years. Mm-hmm. It was a hard time, and in the South, it was really hard on those people. The plantation owners, the people that were left behind, the slaves that were there, everybody.
Well,
it was,
and see,
because a lot of the slaves really were part of the families in a lot of instances.
I was surprised to hear this, is how many families owned slaves. I always thought it was just like, of course you had your elite slave owners, had hundreds. And
even the poor people owned slaves.
People that would have a farm would have a family working with them.
Exactly.
They'd have the man working out in the field with the farmer. The woman would be helping in the house, and their kid would be playing with the kids of the...
Exactly. No, they were it was a way of life.
But it was
some
still,
of them were owned, some of them were just... But it was. I'm not condoning.
I know you're not defending
slavery
at all.
But I'm just saying, it was just simply a... It was how life was lived.
It was life like it was lived back then.
Yeah.
And... But afterwards, how do you take people that now that they're free is, and now you become part of the voting society where you don't have people telling you what to do
and taking care of you.
I'm putting that one in air quotes, but still. That had to be done.
Right. Better making all the decisions for you and kind of controlling and leading your life.
Like being married.
You've never been in like being married? I don't know. No, but I mean, in all truthfulness, they'd lived their whole lives without ever making decisions about where the next meal was going to come from or how they were going to support their family or those kind of things.
Okay. We got to take a break. And Nick says, with the pandemic war, the towns and infrastructures are still here. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank is, every time somebody comes in here that talks about how they, one of the banks that took the lead in this, it's always Cornerstone Community Bank. They're ready. They did a great job in helping people during this CV-19 crisis that is still lingering on. I want to talk about that when we get back from this break here. But they're here to help people. They're here to move your dreams forward. You can learn more at bankcornerstone.com or just go on down to 192 Hartnell Avenue or 1845 California Street and talk to the people there. Good people, locally owned, locally operated, local board of directors. They know what it takes to help our community. Cornerstone Community Bank. We'll be right back.
I can't begin to know it, but then I know it's growing strong.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, "Our customers are warm friends." We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567, and our 7:30 guest, who was unable to make it, called in, like 7:05, said he is up to his ears in work.
That was
Cody from Advanced Automotive. They've got a lot of things they have to get back on the road today, I understand that. But Advanced Automotive down in Anderson, great place. The reason I like it is they come down and they say, okay, this is what's, if you have something wrong with your car, this is what it is, and here's three things we can do. You've got your one that fixes everything and can be a little more expensive. Then you've got this other one that, hey, this is going to do it, but you're going to have to come back in, you know, sometime. And the other one is kind of like, okay, we'll put a leak stopper in there.
But it's only going to last for a little while.
But you may not want to drive across the United States with it. Okay. But what they do, I mean, but they lay it all out to you. They know what they're doing. Really good prices for Advanced Automotive there. 7:37 in the morning, I'm here with Trish Clark. Did you follow what happened last Tuesday at the Board of Supervisors?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Here's my question. Is they don't want to talk to the people. They won't, you know, you can write to them, and if you get 300 letters, they're not reading 300 letters during that meeting. They just can't do that. And so what is so hard about putting a wireless mic at the edge of the chambers so people can come in, let the door open, let one person in, they can say what they want, they can talk to the board, and walking out again, or even putting a wireless mic outside if you don't want them in there, you know, 50, 75 feet away from you. What is so hard about that?
Absolutely nothing. And I would say that quite frankly has been the attitude of this board is that they really their demeanor, their whole positioning is that they know it all. They really don't care to hear from the people. I hate to be in the position of always demeaning the board, but they don't act like the people that I served with. As an example, I've talked to people all the time when they send the supervisors a complaint. They send them an email, they send them a letter, what have you, and they complain about something. What they do is that the supervisor, in most cases, turns that over to the department head for a response. Well, that's not ever how I did it. If a constituent wrote to me, complained to me, I called them back, got the full details of it, and then I went to the department head and got their side of the story to try to figure out a solution to the issue. I was kind of the intermean. That isn't what happens now. They just refer to the department head to respond to them. That's very irritating to the people on the other end. What happened in that boardroom was, but again, I can take both sides of that whole battle between the chair and the other supervisor, because there's no question that he was intricately involved in what went on there and had talked to the people before and kind of set this up to make, again, a spectacle in front of the board. But on the other hand, if you watch the demeanor, and I watched the whole tape, if you watch the demeanor of two of the supervisors while all of those letters were being read, they were on their cell phones. That is so irritating to people to watch that. They were unengaged. They were sitting there filling their time doing other things while the people were, where the messages were being given to them from their constituents. It's an attitude thing that the board has that is kind of irritating to the public. That's what I hear from everybody.
You know, and the other thing is every time I get either an incumbent or a candidate run for the board, I say, why don't you have one meeting, a month or a quarter at night so people can come to it? Oh, that's a good idea. Well, I've been saying that for 10 years.
Okay.
And then it becomes, oh, it's just, it's too hard.
It's too expensive for the staff. It's too much overtime.
It's not, because what you do is you have your staff come in that day at 4.
Most of the staff that is required are paid employees that make a salary. They make a salary no matter how many hours they work. And they make their own hours, generally speaking. Most of the people that need to be at those board meetings are department heads.
Okay.
And they're on a salary. If they have to go to a night meeting, they don't get paid extra. If they take a day off, they don't get done.
And you have two clerks there. Okay, you can't tell me this is not, this is too hard to do.
No, we have to do it all the time.
They just don't care.
They don't. And if you look at the schedule, and I have
You used to have night meetings?
We had meetings up in Shingletown. If we had a project going in Shingletown, we had meetings in Burney. If the project was going in Burney, we met up at Shasta Lake. We went up to Lakehead one time.
Did you have meetings at night?
At night.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now, see, there's the problem in it is now it's, it's why can't you do something as simple as that?
Well, and when I was on the Board of Supervisors, we met every Tuesday. We took two Tuesdays off during July. We did not take the fifth Tuesday of the month off every month. I haven't looked at the board's schedule this year, but I will guarantee you out of 52 weeks, I bet they don't have over 30 meetings. I'm just guessing. Because they cancel meetings all the time. There's months where they only meet once. And when they do meet, they meet for a couple hours in the morning. They rarely have an afternoon session. We used to meet all day long. Takes them an hour and a half to do the county budget. We used to have budget meetings for 3 and 4 days. The involvement of our Board of Supervisors is, for all appearances, now maybe I'm missing something, but I'm now looking at from the outside looking in, mm-hmm. and what I see says that my Board of Supervisors is not involved. They're not proactive.
I can't say that in every case. Joe Comente is very proactive about things, but
after he certainly got involved with that tax measure,
sure. Yeah.
and that was, but that seemed to be the one thing that was on his mind, and that failed, and I haven't seen much since.
Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
Yeah, hi, you two. Let me get something straight here. We put a microphone on the outside for people to speak in because apparently the reason they're not on the inside is social distancing. So let's go back to Tuesday. When Alyssa started to read her letter, which was incredible, the supervisors, two of them, got up and walked out. When they came back in, they did not social distance from Mr. Cruz or each other at all and talk to each other. Then the sheriff came out, did not social distance from anybody, without a mask, and then Mary Rickard came out and talked to Alyssa without a mask, without social distancing. Mike Mangus interviewed them without social distancing. The sheriff stood next to Mike Mangus, and the sheriff put his hand on the back of Mary Rickard as he guided her back in. So what's the reason for not having people in there? Social distancing or control? We seem to be overlooking the elephant in the room, and yeah, I remember the good old days too, but really and truly, there is no law against social or for social distancing. There is no more emergency order. They're afraid of not having their money from the governor. On Sunday of last week, we had on Kirk Euler, the supervisor from Placer County, who basically, long story short, proved in his county that there wasn't any emergency and never was one. He was told by the governor's office that basically with the kind of rhetoric you're using in the email you're writing back to us, Mr. Euler, we may consider withholding funds on disasters from your county. That kind of sounds a little bit like extortion. Kirk's full interview can be heard on Jefferson State of Mind as of last Sunday at 9 o'clock. You go right to there, you can hear the whole thing. It's gone viral, and when we were speaking then at the Capitol, at the rally, we're approaching around 1 million hits. Cordy Williams, who was a Marine and now a doctor, who spoke to the Highway Patrol in their gear about how they were handling the May 1st rally and how they manhandled those three young women, talked to them about it. His video got 8 million hits. We're interviewing him at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning on Sovereign Minds. The real deal is that a microphone outside, for what purpose? Apparently, yeah. They think that social distancing is a silly thing, or they'd be doing it.
Good, you know, all good points, Terry, and you've gotten a lot of really good information out to the people to watch Sovereign Minds, and I told everybody last week to watch that. You're absolutely right. At this point, it's and I think if you look back at it, the sheriff in each county declared an emergency, then the governor in each state declared an emergency, the president declared an emergency. None of those emergency states have ever been re-upped. Nobody's made a declaration. They've all expired. We didn't meet the criteria for an emergency in most places in the United States. And in the truth of the matter of it is, right now it's a matter of money and control.
But that's also called extortion. And you will hear Kirk Euler, who is a sitting supervisor, who has around 1 million hits on his videos. He's a sitting supervisor, shows the letter from the governor's office in which they tell him that they will punish his county
and not give them the money from
disaster money.
They're going to give it all away to the.
He spoke to the governor.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Terry.
I can't make this stuff up, and I keep saying it. This isn't Kansas anymore, but gee whiz, you know, let's talk about something, you know, that's really important.
Invite everybody to listen to Sovereign Minds on Sunday. Thanks so much for calling in, Terry.
Also, Jefferson State of Mind, breaking news on Sunday about Jefferson. Big breaking news.
Okay.
Thanks,
all right,
Terry.
This Sunday. All right, let's take a break. 7:47 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. One of Trisha's favorite places.
Absolutely.
One of her happy places.
Yes.
Right there.
Treat yourself to something nice for after all this time you've been
after
through.
All this you've gone through.
All this staying in place.
Yeah, whatever it's called. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bott, Trace Clark, here at 7:48 in the morning, 73 degrees.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
So what's scorecard scribblings all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR.
That's it. We need to go dance.
96.5 and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number. Hey, Twitter. I'm not on Twitter. I've never tweeted.
I did it. I signed up once, and it's just such an irritation. Okay.
Now, Twitter says they're going to start, you know, using their fact checker to make sure that Trump is telling, you know, saying, including everything when he talks about the vote by mail stuff.
So
the people they pick, one of them is an
active
Trump hater.
Exactly.
And put it in their tweets, and you know Trump should be taken out. And, I mean, just all of these things.
Absolutely.
So that's one of their fact
checkers. Have you seen the picture of him?
No.
He's a young guy.
Well.
Yeah. He's just out to get him.
The point I'm getting then is the social platforms are not held responsible. Because as Zuckerberg said, he says, we're not there to be the truth teller. We're there. We provide a platform. And, you know, we're not there to
send is
Facebook.
Facebook, who's now putting out COVID information, if it's factual or not.
Well, but
according to them.
But as soon as the platform begins editing stuff, now it becomes a publisher. Okay. So the things change, but once you're a privately owned platform, and you're doing this, but once you start editing and adding things into tweets and other things, now you become a publisher. Well, Facebook, Twitter, a lot of these get a lot of great tax breaks, as we know, and so.
The tax breaks should go away then.
Well, that's what the senator from Texas.
Cruz
and Marco Rubio are saying,
yeah,
wait a minute, if you're going to become a publisher, then all these tax breaks go away. Your job is you put a social platform out there, you read something on it like elephants are pink. That's not up to the platform for you to tell you whether to believe it or not. That's up to you. If you want to believe that, I mean, that's you. But it's up to you to research. But once you start editing and adding and things like this,
absolutely,
saying what's true, what's not true, well, now you're a publisher.
Well, and you're right about Zuckerberg. Yeah. That's the position he's already taken. But all of a sudden now they're afraid that the information about COVID, which they're the 95% fear tactic that they're using to control the population, and now they think too much real information is getting out there to the people about maybe all that isn't exactly true. I mean, hard surfaces you can get it from. Yeah, no, you really can't. 6 foot far enough away. Yeah, that's really not enough. Oh, it's too much. Masks are important. No, they're not important. You should use gloves. No, you shouldn't use gloves. All of that. I think you've got about 95% of fear factor going here and about 5% of facts in what's being presented to us now.
Zuckerberg said, I just believe strongly that Facebook shouldn't be the arbiter of truth of everything that people say online. Private companies probably shouldn't be, especially those platform companies shouldn't be in the position of doing that.
But they are now sending out, every time you make a COVID remark on Facebook, they will tag on to whatever you've said and say whether it's factual and direct you to a page that gives you the information from the World Health Organization.
Well, he's basing it on what was going on with the Twitter thing, was the labeling of the president's tweets sounding the alarm on potential voter fraud in the upcoming election, pointing to fact checkers that say there's no evidence that expanded, blah, 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 blah. Trump's Twitter's own analysis was later scrutinized when they came out with the people that said that were making these comments. But there's a lot of experts out there who think that there is there can be widespread voter fraud, including a 2005 study led by Jimmy Carter. Said that there was a, I don't know if you're familiar with that study, but
yeah,
it was after the election. And they said, you know, that yes, there is an ability for widespread fraud and strictly mail.
We talked about that from the very beginning, and the way to double check when we first started getting so many mail-in ballots, and how do we ensure that ballot actually came? And I can remember Ann Reed, the county clerk at the time, we started really emphasizing that, explaining to the board in great length about the depth of checking that they were doing with every one of those mail-in ballots, which is why it takes so long, is the signature comparison and on every one of them to be sure that they were true. Well, I'm sure they're no longer doing that when they're counting boxes of absentee ballots in a quarter of an hour just to change a vote when they come in like that, when they find these boxes of mail-in ballots.
Well, the other thing, too, is ballot harvesting. Where
exactly right.
You go into a senior home or a care facility there's 90 people in there, and all of a sudden all 90 have voted one way or the other.
Yeah. Well,
ballot harvesting by activists and professionals out there. I mean, oh, we're making sure everybody votes. Well, not everybody should vote.
Yeah, and the ones that are comatose in their bed shouldn't be voting.
Probably not. I never felt comfortable, and so I didn't when I received my absentee ballot. When I got it, usually it was too late for it to get back. Sometimes it wasn't, but when they had local things on there, I hadn't been following local things. It was, you know, I'd been gone from that where I was registered to vote for maybe a year. You know, if it was a national election, I felt like I could vote on that. But if you get into school bonds and who should be the president or the mayor of this town, I never voted on those. So, I mean, obviously the absentee ballot is there for a purpose.
Absolutely.
But being told by the governor, we have to vote by mail is wrong. Just wrong.
I like going to the polls. I have always liked going to the polls. I want to cast my vote. I want to be there. I want to walk out with a little sticker on my shirt that said I voted.
I should be able to.
If it's at all possible. If you're sick or you're
possible.
Going to be out of town,
yeah,
or whatever, then that's the reason we have absentee ballots. But we have to follow the strict guidelines that go with it. It must be in by the end of the voting day, must be postmarked or in their possession during that period.
Yeah.
All of those things and all the stuff they want to do now.
100,000 votes come in like happened in Orange County that changed the whole election down there.
That's exactly right. And they've proven that's exactly how they'll no Republican will ever be voted in again if you let them go by total vote by mail.
We'll be right back after these messages to Joe Adams on his Adams & Peak Performance. I've been in touch with Mary Rickard. She may be calling in at 8:30 to talk about some new things that are going to happen at the Board of Supervisors. If not, I'll just give you an update of what she sent to me.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. The pace of layoffs resulting from the pandemic appears to be easing just a bit, though millions continue to lose their jobs.
Roughly 2.1 million people applied for unemployment benefits last week as companies continue slashing jobs in the face of a deep recession. About 41 million people have applied for aid since the virus started intensifying in March, but with more businesses reopening and rehiring, the number of people now receiving unemployment benefits stands at 21 million.
Correspondent Ben Thomas. At the height of last night's chaos on the streets of Minneapolis, police got a call of a man down. He had been shot.
Paramedics were able to get through the crowds and transported the adult male victim to Hennepin County Medical Center, where he was pronounced deceased.
Minneapolis police spokesman John Elder heard on KSTP-TV. There was looting of stores and buildings were set ablaze during last night's unrest. Fresh protests in Hong Kong after Chinese lawmakers endorsed a security bill tightening Beijing's grip on the city, curtailing civil liberties. Correspondent Ken Moritsugu says the Trump administration is now considering its response to China's actions.
One thing that could specifically have economic impact is the U.S. is weighing whether to withdraw preferential trade and financial treatment that it gives to Hong Kong because Hong Kong is an autonomous territory within China. If that were to happen, it could certainly have a major impact on the Hong Kong economy, cause companies to leave Hong Kong, which would be a kind of major shakeup within the region.
April witnessed a record collapse in the number of Americans signing contracts to buy homes. The National Association of Realtors Pending Home Sales Index plunged 21.8% from March. Stocks higher on Wall Street. The Dow is up 104 points, the S&P 15 points higher, and the NASDAQ is up 49 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771 or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The British government is instituting a contact tracing system, part of an effort to curtail the spread of coronavirus.
Here's the idea. You feel the symptoms of COVID-19. You get a test. If you test positive, you then tell the system, the government if you like, that you've done this. They then ask you, who have you met? Who have you been within 2 meters of for the last 15 minutes or more? The government will then call round all those people that you have met and say to them, you need to isolate for 14 days. You could see the potential problems, and that is maybe somebody would fear that they didn't want to stay at home, lose their job or something, so may not report themselves, might not get a test.
The BBC's Rob Watson. The UN is warning that upward of at least 14 million people could go hungry in Latin America as the coronavirus pandemic rages on in Latin America. News and analysis at townhall.com. General Electric selling its iconic lighting unit to smart home company Savant Systems.
The company announced that the transaction is part of GE's ongoing process to be a more focused industrial company. The deal includes a long-term licensing agreement for use of the GE brand. GE Lighting has been around for almost 130 years. General Electric Company was formed by merging the Edison Electric Company with the Thomson Houston Company on April 15, 1892, according to GE's website. GE Lighting will remain headquartered in Cleveland with its more than 700 employees transferring to Savant once the deal closes. Keith Peters reporting.
President Trump preparing to sign an executive order aimed at curbing liability protections for social media companies. This comes a couple of days after the president lashed out at Twitter for tagging two of his tweets with a fact-check notice. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today, the 28th of May, 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring compassion, courage, and community over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. And I'm here with Trish Clark today on our Thursdays, my Thursday girl.
Oh, good morning. I just love Thursday mornings. And it's 75 degrees in downtown Reading.
Every Thursday?
Every Thursday.
And you get up and...
Oh, well, I don't love it when I wake up at 5:30 and have to get up, but I love it once I get here. 73 degrees in downtown Reading as we're speaking. We're looking for hot today, a high of 101, a low of 68. On Friday, hot again, a 101 and low of 59. On Saturday, going to have some showers and a high of 71, a 30-degree drop. And on Saturday night, a low of 56. And on Sunday, partly sunny, high of 80 degrees and a low of 59. Monday, slight chance of showers, a high of 80 and a low of 59. So kind of a change in weather there. The heat streak that we're getting right now is there is an end in sight. I'm looking forward to that. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at
365-3793. Okay, and let's do the traffic report.
And this morning we had a traffic collision. Major injuries reported at I-5 North at the Jellies Ferry Road on-ramp. That's at the Jellies Ferry Road on-ramp. So just be careful if you are in that vicinity. Things are slowing down. We have quite a bit of road maintenance as well at the O'Brien Rest Area. On I-5 North, also quite a bit of construction near Cascade Boulevard. If you're traveling towards the coast, expect ongoing delays. There's at least 7 construction zones between, let's say, Weaverville and Willow Creek. So it is stop and go. And once again, if you're traveling Interstate 5 between Reading and the Oregon border, expect delays north of Shasta Lake, closer to Dunsmuir and near Mount Shasta this morning. They do have maintenance there as well. Now, Carl, back to you.
Okay, so there you are. You're in your shelter in place for the last 60 days. You're saying to yourself, you know what? They're not letting me go to my gym, even though you probably haven't been going to your gym real regularly. Oh, I got to go out. I got to go out and walk somewhere. But, man, I need to get back in there. I need to be pushing that iron. I need to get back in there in that training. I need it. I need it. Well, guess what? Gavin called your bluff. The gyms are open. And with me is Joe Adamson of Adamson's Peak Performance. Good morning.
Morning, Carl. Morning, Trish.
Morning.
So, tell us how, I mean, here's your livelihood, which has people. It needs people, just like all of us do.
It does.
Coming in there every day.
Yes.
Coming in there every day, getting on the machines. And you have so many sanitary stations around there everywhere. You know what? If I didn't wipe down something, I get the girl behind the desk there. She just stares at me. So I go back and, I wipe it off. Which I've already wiped it off once, but I'm thinking maybe it's not good enough. So I go back and wipe it off again. I mean, hell, I was only on it for 10 seconds.
Yes, I just walked by and I didn't even get on it.
Yeah, it was supposed to be 5 minutes. I did a minute and a half. Come on. I don't have to do the 5-minute wipe down. You made it through.
Yeah, we were already known for kind of being clean freaks and neat freaks anyway. So, yeah, we didn't have it was kind of our nature. And then we kind of have what I call the Adamson's advantage, being a training gym. We have much fewer members because we specialize in personal training and group training, and we have a 17,000 square foot gym. So, I mean, you can come in there and literally have like 1,000 square feet per person right now.
A lot of social distancing.
A lot of social distancing.
You know what? As it was, I don't ever remember being that close to anybody, even when there's a lot of people in the gym.
Right.
I mean, you've got lots of room in that
place. So much space. Yeah. So it really has given us an advantage in that area.
So,
yeah, I think that's the case with an awful lot of these businesses that have been held back. Most of those places like hair salons, gyms, you guys are neat freaks and clean freaks anyway.
Right.
And that's the training you have received. Everything's sterilized. Everything's cleaned on a regular basis. And, yeah, seems like maybe the definition of essential was not well considered in a lot of cases.
Right. Some of these people, I mean, exercise is just a huge part of their daily life.
And it's healthy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So they were missing it. We saw a lot of really big smiles. It would have been hugs. but they were some really happy people to be back in the gym.
Well, you know, when people are working out every day, this becomes a part of who they are. And it gives them, it releases the endorphins, you know, the happy cells that rush through there and clear out the bad ones. And when you take that away from people, you don't kind of wean them off. You just take it off, take it away from them. You know, then we get into the other part, the hidden part of being locked down is the depression, clinical depression, domestic violence, child abuse, suicides, and all this, that people don't have that. Their routine is so screwed up, they can't go to work. They can't see their friends.
Well, yeah, so they eat and they drink.
Well, and they do. And I think they said the average weight gain, your average weight gain for CV19 is at 5 pounds. And some people, it's probably been more than that.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
That COVID-19 weight gain.
Yeah.
Are you seeing that?
Yeah, we're seeing that a lot of people, one of the classes I taught the other day, I said, how many of you guys were in better shape than before COVID? And I think it was one. And then how many of you guys are in the same shape? And I think it was one. And I'm like, so 9 of you are not in as good a shape. And I mean, that tends to be the trend. You know, a lot of the people, they tried to start out, you know, good the first couple of weeks, maybe doing some Zoom workouts or online workouts. And they're just like, it's just not the same. The people that were previously coming to the gym, they came to the gym because they wanted that interaction and they needed that interaction. There are a lot of people that do work out online, and that segment will continue to grow and become a bigger and bigger piece. But there's some people just want, I mean, there's no substitute.
That doesn't work.
No, they're not going to put gyms out of business.
Well, yeah. You know, they have, they also have, you know, you partner up with somebody. It's, you know, it's, you'll go there more often.
Socialization.
It's just if you have a workout partner, you don't want to let them down. And then those days you're going, well, you know, and then, you know, oh, yeah, we got to go, got to go. So you go down there.
Yeah.
And, you know, as soon as you get in the car, you're happy.
Yeah.
But you got so many things that's so easy, especially if you've got a business, that is so easy not to do it. And, I mean, I'm a prime example of that. But once I get there, or once I get started over there, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, get in that
habit.
Can't
wait to have Amy hurt me.
Takes a few weeks to get in that habit sometimes. But, yeah, once you get in that habit and you're off and going, I think the hardest part is exactly what you just said, just getting started, getting that put into your routine on a regular basis.
Well, you know, I'm going to take an early break because when we come back, I want to talk about that. Is people, a lot of people, like you said, you know, and just when you ask people how many of you are in worse shape, well, you know, 9 out of 11 raise their hands. How do people get back into it, Joe? And, you know, what do you do as part of your training routine so that when they come back, they may have been at level 3 or 4. Now, oh, gosh, guys, we're back to level 1. You know,
right.
At least 9 of the 11 of you are.
Sure.
Or maybe worse.
Yeah. Now you're at minus 2. You know, my biggest decision was whether to wear my multicolored pajamas from noon on or shorts, or just cut the legs off my pajamas now that's getting hot. You know, I mean, that's where I'm at. Yeah. So 8:14 in the morning, this portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. And I can tell you this, I trust Judy Maxwell. I trust her to be able to do my insurance, to take care of all of those things that I need to make sure that Linda is safe and taken care of if anything happens to me. That's Maxwell Insurance and Financial, 1378 Hilltop Drive, next to Members First Credit Union. Give her a call at 221-0441. We'll be right back with Joe Adamson's of Adamson's Peak Performance.
Enjoy year-round access to everything Turtle Bay Exploration Park has to offer with a discounted annual membership. On sale now through May 31st for $15 off. All new and existing memberships are extended for the duration of the pandemic closure. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Redding Rancheria is proud of our efforts to help lead our community to reopen the local economy in a safe and effective way. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Redding Rancheria and a member of the Shasta County Roadway to Recovery Committee. I would like to thank Shasta County for practicing safe social distancing. As coronavirus cases continue to shrink, Shasta County is looking at ways to reopen our economy in a meaningful and safe way. Make no mistakes, we are not through this yet. We have, however, been blessed with an opportunity to discuss ways to reopen businesses. We are proud to play our part.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coach Master Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coach Master is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Redding community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Enjoy year-round access to everything Turtle Bay Exploration Park has to offer with a discounted annual membership. On sale now through May 31st for $15 off. All new and existing memberships are extended for the duration of the pandemic closure. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with 5 types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Fire Radio here in the studio. It's KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. Trish Clark, Carl Bond, 8:18 in the morning, 5 May the 28th, 74 degrees out there, going up to 101. At least today, this portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. You know, during the middle of this whole shelter in place and COVID and no toilet paper and, you know, just, you know, all these stupid things that were happening. The people at River Commons didn't worry about it. No, 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 no. They had toilet paper. They had great meals every day prepared by a gourmet chef. They took their little dogs or, you know, out for walks, and they just were, you know, nothing really changed for them, except they couldn't travel because a lot of them there. This is an active senior living community. They're, you know, travel a lot, and they were just kind of like locked in there. So they had their own workout classes. So they had everything there. At River Commons Senior Living, give Brian Martin a call at 238-5981, and he'll tell you why so many people live there, why it is the premier retirement community in Northern California, and why people worry less, smile more at River Commons Senior Living. Trish and I are here with Joe Adamson of Adamson's Peak Performance. And quick synopsis is that when he had a, you know, they've opened up now, and when he had his 11 men in a workout class, how many of you guys are in better, the same shape or better shape? Two out of the 11. How many of you guys, which means in the nine weren't, and had gone back to level one or zero one?
Yeah.
Or two?
Right.
Minus two.
What do you tell people now? Okay, you can get back in the gym. So obviously you've talked to all your instructors because you're a personal training gym. Is how do we get people back into this?
Right. Well, I think the biggest key is to start slow. You know, as we begin to get deconditioned, it takes a while to get back into it. And each decade older that you are in life, it's going to take maybe a week longer to get back into that shape that you were in before. So just starting slow and not trying to gain everything back, you know, overnight. Use progression. You know, we use progression as a key term even in training in general, to just gradually increase weights or gradually increase volume or intensity. So progression is really the key. Another very important thing is use all of your components. Use all of your tools in your fitness tool chest. Don't just come in and just lift weights or just walk on the treadmill. But if they're going to get back to where they were much, much quicker if they're using all the tools, if they're doing some cardio, if they're doing some strength training, if they're watching their nutrition, if they have an overall game plan.
Well, and certainly that's a healthy lifestyle, moderation and all things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eating properly, exercising, the whole
well, you know,
thing.
That was part of the thing that we talked about, you know, about through Orchard Nutrition is, you know, organic food, you know, food that, you know, that's been, you know, that's good for you, that doesn't have any additives. But the other part of that is exercise and get a lot of sleep. I mean,
right.
Just three things
right.
that are going to keep you healthy anyway and will help you fight this. Because as we've discovered, millions more have had COVID than we ever thought. And showed no symptoms or showed few symptoms,
right.
Maybe like a little, you know, slight flu symptoms. Not, again, saying that COVID-19 is not serious, but many, many, many people have had it.
Well, the last
and
two
being
cases
healthy is a way of keeping yourself.
The last two people that actually were infected in Shasta County were through tests, no symptoms.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, that they're picking up now that they're doing the tests out at the college. People are voluntarily going in, and that's why the last two cases.
So over there at Adamson's, Your age groups range from?
Well, we have, you know, all ages, but I would say particularly like 35 to 65 is really a big age group. We have a lot of professionals there and so mm-hmm. forth. So, yeah.
Do you have, tell us some of the things that are available.
Sure,
Adamson.
Sure. We're kind of a hybrid gym. We being a training gym, we still offer what we call a basic membership. So if people, you know, are on their own and they want to just train on their own, that is still available. It's not what we necessarily specialize in, but for those people, it's wonderful because they get to come into this beautiful, clean facility with lots of space. So they love it as well. But really the things that we specialize in, one is one-on-one personal training. That's what we've done for almost 27 years. And that's a huge, that's, you know, over 50% of our business probably. But we also do small group personal training, which is an up-and-coming type of training where 3 to 6 people work out together with a trainer sharing the cost of the trainer. So, and then we do large group training, which we call team training, which is these 30 to 40 minute high-intensity metabolic conditioning classes. So they're not necessarily designed to build a lot of muscle or a lot of strength, but just a great overall conditioning, great calorie burner. So they go kind of hand in hand with our personal training, which tends to be more strength-based. And then we also offer women-only. We've been doing the Skinny Jeans programs for, you know, 10 to 15 years now, and that's been a big hit for us. It's women-only programs where the women work out in a group of usually it's 6 to 9. We've kind of shrunk the size down now for the spacing situation. But and they work with a personal trainer twice a week doing a strength-based workout. So
yeah, Linda loves that.
Yeah, no, that's great. They have been a total hit for us.
The as you get older, you know, people say that, you know, you're, you know, of course your body starts slowing down and this. But as you get older, can you still build strength? Or
Absolutely.
Is that the one? You know, maybe your endurance isn't as much, but you can still build strength, or both.
You know, I think you can build both. You know, both of them probably tend to diminish a little bit, you know, as we age for sure. But I always tell people in my personal philosophy is that strength is your foundation. Strength training should be the foundation of an exercise program. So what does that look like? Well, maybe it looks like strength training twice a week type of thing. Is endurance training or cardiovascular training important? Oh, absolutely. And then so I would build your foundation of your strength training and then come in and get one or two cardiovascular workouts a week or even three. That could be our team training. That could be getting on a treadmill. That could be walking the river trail or cycling. But I think, you know, it's a synergistic thing, and you need all of it. But I really like the strength training as your foundation.
If you only have 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you are busy, you're starting businesses and all that. And so you hit the gym and you've got 30 minutes. What would you say is the very best workout for somebody that's got a 30-minute time frame?
Sure. Well, I would come in, do a quick dynamic warm-up, about a 5-minute dynamic warm-up.
Which is?
That would be just doing a series of kind of calisthenic-type movements, maybe 10 repetitions each, maybe 6 to 10 exercises, lower intensity, getting the blood flow going and getting your mobility going, and then go right into probably 6 or 7 strength exercises, you know, maybe a couple, 2 to 3 sets each if you have time, kind of not doing big long rest periods, but just, you know, combining exercises into supersets, which is a time saver, and then maybe finish off with 5 to 10 minutes. We're calling them finishers now, but 5 to 10 minutes of cardiovascular exercise. When I'm actually personal training someone, we do a lot of 25-minute personal training sessions, and I'll finish with a 3 to 5 minute finisher, which is just a heart pumping series of little exercises that just, you know, that kind of leave them laying on the floor at the end of that finish.
I was going to ask you, you have somebody for 25 minutes there. Do you help them up?
You let them breathe at any point?
You help them up and you kind of lead them back.
That sounds like a lot,
lead them
but
back
in 25
the,
minutes.
Lead them back into the dressing room, pat them on the butt, and just say, good job.
They can lay on the turf for 5 minutes before we roll them off of the turf if they would like.
30-minute increments,
and
5 minutes.
By the way, they have those heart defibrillators there at the gym, and everybody knows how to use it because I was pointing at it on the wall one day and going, and she just said, you're okay. You'll get over it.
Funny that you mentioned that, because one of our clients turned 60 while we were closed, and so he came back yesterday. Was his first day back, so he was taking a class at noon, and so I went and I grabbed the defibrillator, and I went and I kind of just set it beside him, you know, just in case.
That's
not going
cruel.
Just to tease him.
That at 60, I'm not even
touching you. That's cruel, Joe. So you've got all types of classes. What time do you start in the morning?
We open at 5 a.m. every morning, and we have team training classes that start as early as 5:15 in the morning. We kind of run those all day long. We're going to start ramping up our small group personal training, which really kind of goes well with the times that we're in, where people are encouraging smaller groups and so forth. And then we do, of course, one-on-one training throughout the day.
And you can come in if you want to and just work up on your own, too.
Yeah, we have a basic membership that you can just come in and train.
And
we'll love it.
I tell you what, they have every type of machine and weight that you can think of. Tell me, do you ever get a kick out of somebody gets on the machine backwards? Come on, I know it happens.
Probably the funniest thing that I see is over my 27 years is watching people on treadmills and some of the crazy things that have happened. On one guy actually almost fell off and almost knocked the whole treadmill over. So you see some pretty comical things from time to time.
You know, ones where you're working your hammies or your hamstrings, some people get on it backwards and things like that.
And you just kind of act calm and don't laugh at them and just kind of, why don't you turn around and face the other direction?
It works a little better this way.
I mean, it would work that way, but not for that muscle group. In fact, I've never seen it used that way. So, you know what? Thank you for showing me that that could have happened.
So that's the painter's scaffolding that you're in.
The now, do you you also have a huge room? Not a huge room, but it's it used to be a dance studio. In there.
Right.
So what are you doing in there?
Well, that's funny you should ask. That room is probably it's the nicest room in the whole gym, and it's probably been our least used gym over the years. So we're still working on it. We turned it into a boxing studio. That didn't go over super well, so we still use it for some boxing. We're doing some yoga in there on Tuesday, Thursday evenings. And then as of January, it was kind of cool. We started a Parkinson's boxing program for people with Parkinson's disease, and they meet twice a week in there, and Amy and Maria put them through a boxing routine, and that's proven to be a really awesome thing for the health of those patients. So there's a guy in town that was running the program, and he couldn't run it anymore, and he just turned it over to us. So we're working
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's really neat.
Do you have a pulmonary rehab kind of series?
We don't really do pulmonary rehab. We have a pulmonologist that works out at our gym, but certainly
there's special exercises that they recommend for people with
We would be more, I would say, post rehab. We have some very good trainers that are great with people with coming out of various rehab programs.
Okay. So they do have a program specifically for people who have pulmonary.
Oh yeah, we work with a lot of people of all back injuries and disabilities and so forth. So I not specifically a pulmonary rehab program, but I know that the Parkinson's guys the pulmonary piece is a huge issue with
right.
them.
Yeah.
So you'll hear them in there just yelling and screaming because that's part of the exercise program is for them to really exercise their vocal cords to make them stronger. So, yeah.
Well, we've been here with Joe Adamson. Tell us where you're located at, Joe, and phone numbers and all those things.
Sure, yeah. We're at 3050 C Street, which is just right off of Hartnell. And our phone number is 530-221-8006.
If you go past Hartnell and Bocelli, it's the next turn.
Yep.
And if you get to the school, you've gone too far.
Right, right. Right next to I-5.
You can see it when you make that turn. You can see the gym, and it's a great place. They've got big tires outside, too. I don't know what they're for. I did see people lifting them and pushing them. I couldn't figure out why. So, Joe, thank you so
There's
much.
There's a story there, I think.
Thanks, Carl.
Well, thanks for being with us today because, now that the gyms are open, it's okay, you've called our bluff. If my gym was open, I'd be there every day.
Yeah. Well, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, and we'll look forward to seeing you
in
there
again. We'll be back in there,
buddy. Very soon.
Okay. Hey, we're going to take a break, and Mary Rickert is on the line, the head of the Board of Supervisors, and we're going to talk about probably a little bit about what happened Tuesday and what's going to happen in the future, the
Perfect.
New plan. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals, recognized by the Watson Health Organization. They are the only people out here with the Da Vinci surgery robotic suite, which means less intrusive surgery, less pain, reduced risk, and faster recovery times. All of this at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts there. We'll be right back.
This is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to an state with no more homeless pets.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process.
We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Carl Bott, Trish Clark, it is 8:35 in the morning, 75 degrees, going up to 101 today. Yeah! And this portion of the show brought to you by the best barbershop in the world, Cypress Square Barbershop. They are a better-known business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They work on appointments. They're open now. Their number is 244-9478. You're not going to go into a chair covered with hair from other people and all those things. They've got disposable aprons that they put around each new customer. They take 10 minutes in between to clean the equipment there, sanitize it. Nobody sits around waiting there for you. You just come in, and when it's your turn, you just walk in, get your haircut, and walk out. You pay somewhere in there, too, so don't forget that. That's Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. And on the phone, good morning, Mary Rickert.
Chairman of the Board of Supervisors.
Chairman of the Board of Supervisors.
Good morning, Mary.
Hi, Trish. How are you today?
Well.
So where are you at? Are you back up north?
I am in District 5 on our ranch. I went out, got some phone calls done, and picked up garbage on my walk. I multitask all the time. So, and I got a bunch of emails done about 6 this morning. So it's been 12, 14-hour days, but we talked about that earlier in our conversation. These are busy times right now for the board supervisors and trying to get through this pandemic.
Well, you know, thank you so much. I sent an email off to Mary yesterday about, you know, what had happened on last Tuesday and what were the plans going forward. And she got back to me, and then and I asked her if she could be on today, and she said, "Yeah, just tell me what time." And this is one of the things I really like about our elected officials. They're all like that, even less. But I shouldn't say even less, but less by the time, you know, after the haircut caper. He came right on, and we talked about that. But, Mary, last Tuesday there was some consternation about what was, you know, being said, what wasn't being said, what was being allowed to be said. And so what's going to happen on June 2nd?
Well, I have been busily working the last several days trying to plan, and I think people will be pleased. I've been working with county council. I'm waiting for some confirmations from him. So I don't have anything concrete, but I've made the decision. I most definitely want people to have the opportunity to come and speak. I believe if all goes according to our hope and plan, that we're going to be able to allow a few people into the board chamber. They'll be able to speak just like a normal board meeting. I think it's so important that everyone have the opportunity to be heard. And that's what I want, the equal opportunity. I want everyone to equally have that opportunity. We're also going to continue for those people that don't feel comfortable coming out in public, that they can still email their comments in. So we're trying to basically cover all of our bases and make sure everyone in Shasta County has a voice.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said that, because I was thinking of something, you know, even if you didn't want to let everybody into the council chambers.
How we're going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you could just put in a microphone at the back there and just let people come in one at a time and talk.
Now, Carl, I believe from what county council has said so far, that we're talking about possibly 25% occupancy is what the guidelines are stating now from the state. So we're trying to figure out. I'm meeting today with the clerk of the board, and I want to say we have an amazing clerk of the board. Shasta County should be really proud of our clerk. She does an incredible job, and she and I are going to spend the afternoon together to try and figure out the logistics once we get some kind of parameters. But we do want to be able to figure out to have as many people be heard as possible. I don't know how it's going to work. We can only allow a certain number in the board chambers at any given time, so I don't know if people are going to be gracious enough to, once they've made their public comments, basically step out of the chambers and allow someone to take their place. I'm hoping that's the case, because I want to hear from everyone as possible.
I think people will, as long as it's explained like that.
And I think the reality is that people are going to listen to rules and follow them when they make sense and when there's common sense behind it. So it's just like they've done with all of the other places that have been open, Mary, where, I mean, your big stores. You go in, and if somebody comes out, somebody else is allowed to go in.
Well, Trish, you know, I'm over 65, and I'm high risk. I have a medical. I have asthma. So I'm one of those people that I have not been to Costco 3 or 4 months. I mean, I just try to avoid some of the larger stores. Or if I do go in, I do wear gloves and a mask, and I just try to protect myself. And I try to use as much common sense as possible. I have two essential jobs, not just a supervisor, but also as a meat. You know, we produce a lot of meat and have a slaughterhouse and provide a lot of meat, some to people in Shasta County. So I haven't been able to shelter in place. There are days I just at least stay home and watch HGTV, but that's not an option for me these days. So I just really want people to know that they're welcome to come and that we are happy. I just got off the phone. I had a long conversation with Sheriff McGreeny, trying to figure out the logistics and what's going to work best. He's told me he's going to have some deputies there, and we're going to, you know, just try and have a very orderly business-like meeting. We want to hear everyone, but we also ask that everyone respect the rule of order in the boardroom. So
and I think that I'm sorry, but I think that's so important. Part of the problem is that the perception of the people watching and how the board presents itself.
Yes.
And facts don't always aren't always the big determining factor.
No.
What people perceive is what you have to deal with.
I know. And, you know, Trish, you, as a former board member and board chair, it's ultimately my responsibility to run the meeting and maintain order.
Absolutely.
And I've been putting off being board chair, and somehow I picked the short straw for 2020, ended up board chair, and look what happened.
Lucky you.
So, lucky me, but you can appreciate that of all people. And you know, it's interesting times, and I know I keep asking other board members, are you sure you don't want me to just step aside, you take over? And they go, oh, no. So,
hey, Mary.
But anyway. Hey, go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, Mary, here's the big, you know, this has been my question since probably after the first month. And, you know, you've got businesses that play by the rules.
Right.
And you have businesses that don't. You have, and the businesses that are playing by the rules are being hurt, and the businesses that aren't playing by the rules are, you know, they're back up to full strength, they're bellying up to the bars, or all these things, and yet nothing seems to be done to level that playing field, and that's been my whole thing is fairness. If you're going to have some people doing it, then why isn't something being done about the people that aren't playing by the rules?
And I agree 100%. I'm not the one to enforce. I'm just one to kind of, you know, the board serves a different role in this whole thing. So that's, I think, a great question for our sheriff. And I know that up and down the state that question has been asked consistently, actually all across the nation. I'm an avid Fox News watcher, and I certainly understand the incongruities that we're all experiencing. And I agree. It's really difficult. I just keep thinking, that we're going to get through this. The governor continues to open up various businesses. I do not understand. Even before the pandemic, it was, you know, we've talked about how we never knew what was going to come out of Sacramento, and it was, usually it was just kind of a, well, I called it a shoot from the hip kind of a approach of government. But we're just trying to do the very, very, very best we can. I empathize as a business owner myself that it really should be an equal and fair playing field. I just don't know how I know I can't go out and issue citations, but, you know, it's just a tough situation to be in. It really is.
It really comes down to a lot of this has to take place in the community, and the citizens have to control it. If they can see a discrepancy that is so bad, then they need to avoid that business and go to the businesses that are playing by the rules.
Right.
In a lot of these instances, it's common sense and people, not government control, that are going to rule.
And I think that's a very astute observation, Trish, and I couldn't agree with you more. I really could. And aren't you proud of me? I had to finally stand up. Remember how you shared with me I wasn't tough enough?
I'm proud of you, Mary. And now I've said to you, you always had it into you. But you're in a position now where you really can't turn to anybody else. So that's where the buck stops at this point. And so you got to, and you can control it. I know you can.
I'm doing the best I can. As my husband says, people don't realize that deep down inside you are a person of steel. And I have a deep faith, and God's with me every day. That's all I can say. I pray to him every day to give me guidance and to get through this, because ultimately all I want is what's best for Shasta County. You know, we want to make sure that we don't have a new surge, so we have to, you know, everybody has to be conscientious of that. You know, I know California is still on an upswing. They're still on increasing numbers, and it can happen so easily. I was born in Kings County. And my brother, my oldest brother still lived there, and there was a convalescent worker in Tulare County, a neighboring county, who was a roommate with somebody that worked in a meatpacking plant in Kings County. So he went to work, and I think they had some like 180 cases just like that. So we have to really be smart. We have to be, everybody has to do their part. Everybody has to be responsible. Would it be all possible if I could share some good things that we're working on?
Yeah, we need to have a break first.
Okay.
So we're here with Mary Rickert, chairwoman of the Board of Supervisors. We have some people wanting to talk to you also. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. They're still teaching. Records were set in March and April for guns being bought. The classes are still going on. They're going on down at the Reading Gun Club, which has opened up again. They're distancing people, so you're having the safe distancing. They're living to the rules that have been given to us about how you can interact with people. Northern Firearms Instruction, anything from rifles and unarmed combat to defense of your home and everything in between. Northern Firearms Instructions, go to usgunpro.com or give them a call at 999-1822. We'll be right back with Mary Rickert, Carl Butt, and Trish Clark.
Dreams that you dream of, dreams really do come true. Upon a star, wake up where the clouds are far behind. Be where trouble melts like lemon drops, high above the chimney top. That's where you find me.
Let's see, coffee, got it. Radio dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
This is Reading Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to P5 Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Trish Clark and I are here. It is about 77 degrees, going up to 101 today. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Discounts for seniors and veterans, a veteran-owned business, 8:50 in the morning. And we have with us Chairwoman of the Board of Supervisors for Shasta County, Mary Rickert. And Mary, thanks first of all for being with us. And Trish wanted to make a point, and then you can talk about some of the things that are going on that's positive.
I just want to point out to the one statement that you made, Mary, that there is an upswing continuing in the state. And I think we always have to take into consideration the fact that part of the reason we're having an upswing on an ongoing basis is the increased amount of testing that we're doing, like we're doing at Shasta College, where the two recent cases in Shasta County, no symptoms, but they tested positive. So got to keep that in perspective.
You're very correct. The more testing we do, the more cases we're going to find. And that's very true. That's a very good point.
And as we define and recalculate the deaths based on the criteria that they really actually had to die from COVID as opposed to have it, and now they're going to find out that the death rate is not as high as they predicted it would be.
Well,
important points that the media doesn't always bring out.
Well, the other, and we had, I like to think of Shasta County as, you know, taking one for the state, that we actually held an experiment up here. When you put 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 people together in one spot, and we did not have a surge, we didn't have a spike, we didn't have anything in COVID cases.
As a result of the Cottonwood Rodeo.
Will that result in the board opening up Shasta County faster than other places?
Carl, a lot of people keep saying the board should open up Shasta County, and people, I have to explain it again. We don't have that authority. We have to follow the guidelines. And again, I feel like I've repeated this over and over again, but we have to follow the guidelines set forth by the state. If we don't, and I think I shared this with you, maybe I didn't the last time I was on the radio, but if we don't, we will get a letter like the other counties who did open, and I've seen them, and I've talked to other board members from those counties, and basically they'll withhold, you know, reimbursement and perhaps, you know, I would imagine funding down the road. I have heard enough horror stories that my ultimate goal is to protect the citizens of Shasta County. They may not fully understand why the board is doing what it's doing, but they have to understand that we are really, truly looking out for the best interests of for them in the long run. The last thing I want to do, you know, we're into this COVID cost at about $4 million. If we don't get reimbursed, what are we going to do? Is it going to hit public safety? Where are we going to have to make cuts? We're already seeing declining revenue from sales tax and all that. We have some tough financial days ahead of us. So the last thing we need to do is to jeopardize our funding.
Well, and I couldn't agree with you more, Mary, but I will tell you that those letters, I've heard, you've heard other people say this, but that smacks of extortion. There's been some lawsuits filed as to whether the state actually has the authority to withhold a lot of those funds. A lot of those funds that they're talking about withholding, in fact, are federal reimbursements. Mm-hmm. I don't think you've seen the end of how much authority the states have as opposed to the federal government, as exposed to the sheriff in each county. I think those will all be ironed out in those lawsuits that are going to play out in the state.
I do know, I did talk to a friend of mine. I know three of the supervisors in Modoc County, and I called one of them. And she said that they had to rescind their, quote-unquote, opening. And she said she is really nervous because they had real serious financial troubles in the last 10 years. You know that. And she is really concerned that they're going to pay the price. And so when I'm hearing that from a supervisor from a county that tried to open, irregardless of what the state directives were, then she just said it's not a good idea. So I'm trying to learn from other people's experiences, and I do know I talked to Sacramento, the RCRC group, and Trish, you know who that is. And, they said your number one priority for your constituents, all of your constituents in Shasta County, is to ensure that you don't become at cross purposes with the state and you lose any funding. That's for your primary responsibility right now. And I take that very seriously. And I will tell you another time in private, you know, we basically had to, kind of make some amends over the Cottonwood Rodeo to get reopened.
I need to get to phase two. I understand that.
Yeah. And it was not a place I wanted to go, but I kept telling myself, what is in the best interest of the people of Shasta County? It's personally, I didn't like doing it, but I knew what I had to do for the people of Shasta County, and I do not, and I cannot emphasize enough, do not want to jeopardize any funding, because in the long run, 2 years from now, they're going to be saying, well, why did we have to cut a deputy? And I don't want to have to explain to them it's because we didn't go along with the guidelines we were given, the directives from Sacramento. That's why we're doing what we are doing. We don't have the authority to just magically open. I mean, we could do that, but we're, I suppose, in the sense that technically we could, like Modoc did. But this friend of mine, she said, whatever you do, don't do it. And so I'm going to trust her. I've known her for years. She's a cattle rancher from Tule Lake area, and I trust her. And she just said, don't do it. She says, because we are really worried going forward, trying to dig out of their financial problems moving forward.
You know, Mary, the problem that a lot of people are having now is, and I'm not saying you guys, you know what, nobody's had to face this being forced. So let me say this real quick. It's like Trump. I don't care who the president was. Nobody's faced this thing like this since the pandemic of 1918, and things were a lot different. And so you all are in constantly, every day is, you know, it's like waking up in a new bed or something like that. I mean, there's always something new coming in. On the other hand, you know, we've gone from flattening the curve to now it's got to be finding a vaccine. I mean, this can only go on so long, and the people, as you're discovering, as everybody's discovering, have just said, you know what, I've had it.
And that's how it's going to happen.
And now, you know, and at that point, we lose control, or you lose
and
control.
And I agree, Carl. And you know, this has gone on through history. I know. Somebody was sharing with me the other day that George Washington went through the same thing. He had his troops out there. They were really, I can't remember which battle it was. This was a month or so ago. They told me the story. But he was out there, but he journaled that, you know, he says the troops have been very disciplined. They've been really good, which Shasta County residents have been really good and great. We've really done a great job. But he says human nature is human nature, and I totally understand that. So I understand how tough it is. I really empathize with people, but we are making progress, and I personally am trying to focus on the positive and what we can do and not so much what we can't do. And I think that's a valuable lesson for our children, too, that we need to show them in life it doesn't always go easy. My grandparents lived through the 1906 earthquake and the 1918 Spanish flu, and they were living in San Francisco. And my mother was born in 1920, and they somehow all survived it. But you know, historically, generations have gone through difficult times, and I think this is what we have to deal with during our generation and our time. And it's been a real life lesson for a lot of us. And what can we learn from it? What can we learn from it? That's all I ask.
Well, I think a lot of people have felt like they've given up a lot of their, you know, rights that we've been, you know, that we fought so hard for, and it's based on, you know, one man making these decisions that, you know, not necessarily, you know, that.
Unfortunately, I couldn't agree with you more.
Well,
and I don't have any more control over him than the next person in Shasta County. We can only do what we can do, and we're trying to do the very best to walk this fine line of keeping in the good graces of Sacramento so we can get Stage 3 as best as we can.
Okay.
But that's what we all want. And I want to really emphasize that the entire board is unified and wants to move forward. There's a lot of misconceptions out there, but for all of us, that's what we want.
Okay. Mary Rickard, thanks so much for calling in today, Mary.
Do you have 1 minute for a quick
sure. Sure.
I've been working really hard on the junior livestock show and sale.
Sure.
I've been talking to the fair manager. We've had meetings with Dr. Ramstrom via phone, and we are really working on that because
that's important.
As a former 4-H and FFA member, it's so important for our kids.